My lord, don't even the dogs get to eat of the crumbs. She said, I don't even want you fast. Just give me something left over. Oh, I've been there sometimes where I can't just give me something left over. And the Lord looked at her with compassion and said, I haven't even seen this kind of faith among my own people all day. He said, go your way, the demon's gone out. Gifts are for the church. And they're precious. They're precious. And don't be ignorant about them. Amen? Alright. Alright, what time is it? Oh good, we got 4 hours. So the first thing you want to understand, God does not want you to be ignorant of gifts. Second thing you're to understand, get rid of the idolatry in your life. Because if you don't, and you go after spiritual gifts, you will become a worse idolater. You will be as Jesus was talking about, we talked about the other day, you evil, perverse generation, you know. No sign shall be given you but the sign of Jonah, because they wanted the sign. They didn't want Jesus. They didn't want God. They didn't want the truth. They wanted signs. They wanted a carnival. Entertain us, Lord. We're bored. A lot of people go to church for entertainment. Did you know that? They don't go to church to learn. You know how I know that? Because if you sit back and watch them for a few years, you'll find out they ain't learned nothing. They're the same pigs that came in 2 years ago. Pigs are like that, you know. Pigs don't change. Pigs are pigs. You can take a pig and you can clean that sucker up and put a bow tie on its little tail and let pig its little toe footers. And let it run around, and oh, it is so cute that the first mud pie you can see out there, it's going to go get it. Amen?
Amen.
Unfortunately, a lot of sheep are in mud pies, and people take them for pigs. So you got to be careful. I can deceive you. Wherefore, verse 3, wherefore, I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed. I'm going to start a new page.
Okay.
No man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed. Who knows what it means to speak by the Spirit of God? Tongues, thank you, Kevin. Tongues is what Paul's talking about here. So he starts off with tongues. But number one, tongues. First thing he starts off with, tongues. What did Jesus say? You want to understand the Word of God, you've got to remember the things that God says throughout His Word. How many times did Jesus say over and over again, the first shall be last and the last shall be first?
More than twice.
More than twice. It's a rule. Write that down. It's a rule. So the first is the last, and the last is the first. And you're going to find that comes to pass in this whole thing. It starts off with the least of all the gifts. And yet, it's one of the most important. One of the most important. And he starts off by telling you, well, you're as bad as me. That gives me hope. You're calling crime. You know, it always happens when you get in front of people. You can do it fine when you're not in front of people. You get in front of people, and I forget how to write. Very good. All right. Paul brings this up, and he says, first of all, I want you to understand this, that if you're praying in tongues, you cannot call Jesus accursed. Now, why did he seem to think that was necessary to bring this up? Because of something that is written that says, wherefore, beloved, building up thy most holy faith by praying in the Holy Ghost. Praying in the Holy Ghost. And again, Paul's saying, in reference to the mysteries of Christ, which things we also speak not with the words of man's wisdom, but of the Holy Ghost. Slightly paraphrased, but he gets the point across. What all these has to do is tongue, it all comes out tongues. We talked the other night about faith a little bit. You have a faith. God gave you a faith when you were born. You were born with it. And I think I went through the part, if you have a big pond out here and you have your faith and it's a great big rock and you toss it in that pond, it's going to create a splash and ripples are going to go out throughout the pond. Amen. But what happens if you've taken that faith and taken a hammer to it and you spread it all out? No, you got to take that easy thing, you got the grain of sand, and you throw it in that pond, nothing happens. That's your problem, you see. You got faith, but it's spread out in so many different things that the actual force of faith is nil, it's not there. And God gave you that faith to use. Here's where the ignorance comes in. I bet you didn't know that God gave you faith to believe in Him. That's what He gave you that faith for. He didn't give you that faith to believe in John Blow down the street, or Glenn Cadill Hopper, or Marvin Pitt, or the government, or your mother, or your father, or anyone else. He gave you that faith to believe in Him. And it was our parents' jobs to teach us that. Which my parents failed miserably. In fact, my parents constantly tried to get me to have faith in them. And when they let me down, my faith went from them to myself. Anybody relating to what I'm saying here? That faith that God gave you was for His use. And you got it all hammered out in these little tiny sand piles. And when it comes time to having faith, you don't have it. So Paul says, concerning spiritual gifts, I don't want you ignorant. I don't want you to be into idolatry. I don't want you to be into anything like that. But first of all, I want you to understand, you got to learn how to build your faith and bring it back where it belongs. That's the first thing you got to do. And how do you do it? Praying in tongues. How do you pray in tongues, somebody says? Well, it's very simple. You receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. With the baptism of the Holy Spirit comes the gift of tongues. It's automatic, it comes. It's yours. But you got to use it. And that's why Paul said what he said, that no man speaking by the Holy Ghost calls Jesus accursed. Because the minute you start trying to talk to the Lord in the Spirit, by the Holy Ghost, Satan is right there telling you it's not real. Or you got some stupid preacher over here saying it's of the devil that's counterfeit. Well, I think everybody's in here is intelligent enough to know that when a baby is a baby, it doesn't talk. Isn't it stupid? Baby. Little tiny thing. His mother used to spend all kinds of time. Say, Mama. Say, Mama. You do this. Come on, Ricky. Say, Mama. Before your daddy gets. Come on, say, Mama. She didn't know that when she went around saying, say daddy. Come on, boy, say daddy. Amen. It's the truth. Finally, we walked in the room, my mother came in there, and she said, Daddy. I tell you, you want to know how I got so fat? That's what it happened. I'm teasing. That's what I said was another word for a lie. I did puff up over that. I really did. He said, Dad, did you hear that? Did you hear that? He said, Dad. But when you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are a baby. It doesn't matter how old you are physically. Doesn't matter how old this is. What was it Jesus said to Nicodemus? If you want to understand the things of the kingdom of God, you have to be born again. If you want to understand the things of the kingdom of God, you have to be born again. Well, that means become a baby again. Amen? Yes, you can. Not with the flesh, you cannot. But when you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, your spirit and your soul receives a rebirth. In effect, Jesus joining the two together. Now look at this. Show you how it works. Here was Adam. Now, I'm not an artist. I'm a less of an artist than I can write, okay? Here's Adam. That's Adam. You see which one's Adam? Huh? Come on, let me pick on you. Did you see which one is Adam? Which one's Adam? All of them. Somebody's been teaching her. Praise God. You love the Lord. Say amen. This is Adam. That's Adam. And this is Adam. This is Adam, the soul. He's the soul brother. This is Adam, the body. And this is Adam, the spirit. Together, the three are one person called Adam. Isn't that simple? You see, you're looking at Richard's body, Richard the body. But you're communicating with Richard the soul, inspired by Richard the spirit, by God's Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Does this make sense?
No.
All right. So Adam was perfect. Huh? And when he was perfect, he was alive. But God said, in the day that thou eatest of the tree of knowledge between good and evil, thou shalt most surely die. Amen? Is God a liar? Is he says he tells the truth? He tells the truth. Alright? If you go out here and you cut a rose off a tree, when does it die? The second you cut it. He just doesn't know it yet. It's dead. It's cut off the tree. And it is dead, but it just looks good for a while. See, that's what happened to Adam. When he ate of the tree of knowledge between good and evil, what does Paul say? For the word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing asunder the soul from the spirit. The word of God, that is, in the day that thou eatest of this, the tree of knowledge, good and evil, thou shalt more surely die. The word of God cut Adam's spirit from his soul. Adam died. Amen?
Amen.
Now, doesn't the word of God tell us that God shows us through nature everything that's unseen? Alright, some of you bear with me. If you've heard this before, bear with me. Some haven't. What is H2O?
Water.
Very good. It has two like elements and one dissimilar element to create a molecule called water. Amen? Alright. What happens when you take two atoms of hydrogen and put them together with one atom of oxygen? See? You have an explosion. Energy is released. And through that energy, by that explosion, water is made. Amen? Doesn't matter if it's solid or liquid or gas, it's still water. Right? Alright. God is three. Huh? Father, Son, Holy Ghost, one God. What does it say over 1 John chapter 5, verse 7? For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. These three are one. Now, did the Father become flesh? No. Did the Holy Ghost become flesh? No. The Word became flesh, right? So we have the two similar and the one dissimilar. The Father and the Holy Ghost would represent the hydrogen atoms, and Jesus the Christ would represent the oxygen atom. Huh?
Amen.
And did he not resurrect in power?
Amen.
And was there not a great earthquake when he resurrected?
Yes.
I'd say they had quite an explosion when the three got together again. Amen?
Amen.
All right. God in his word says, be perfect as he is perfect. What is he talking about? Keeping the law? God was perfect before the law.
Amen.
Amen? He didn't even have the law until later on. God was perfect before the law. He was perfect after the law. So he couldn't have been talking about the law. What's he saying? I made man after my image, after my likeness. I made man perfect, body, soul, spirit. One person in total communion with himself and with me. I gave him a physical body to operate in, to see and hear and to do things in this three-dimensional world I created him. I gave him a spirit to deal with me and to see my heavenly things and to walk in my heavenly kingdom. And I gave him a soul to be able to judge and to do and to assimilate all of it. So the body has five senses. Amen? How many senses does the spirit have? Five senses. See, I like these poor ignorant, those that are ignorant begin. Those poor ignorant people out there that practice spiritualism and witchcraft and all, you'll hear them talk about the sixth sense. Those sixth sense. You have natural sense and you have spirit sense. The natural sense is made up of five senses. Sight, touch, hearing, smell, taste. Right? And your spiritual senses are exactly the same. but they're for the spiritual world, not for the earthly world. See, that's when Jimmy Townsend was in here yesterday, he admitted it. There's been too many times, as far as he's concerned, that I knew what he was doing when I was miles away. See, God's a tattletale. But Ricky Bowen, I was in prayer one time and God showed me Ricky Bowen. I'm going to tell a good thing on him. I could tell some bad things, but I'm going to tell a good thing on him. And he was on his knees praying. And he was praying to the Lord. And he said, Lord, I want to be as a son to Richard. You remember that? I want to be as a son to him. I want to be the best son he could ever have. I want to serve him in you. And Lord, if you don't mind, I want to marry his daughter. And I kept it a secret. How long did I keep it a secret?
A little while.
It was a good while. Never said a word about it. Never said a word, but I prayed. And I did according as the word of the Lord gave me to do. And then when the right time came, I said, okay, how much did you mean it? He said, mean what? What you pray, what I pray. Amen?
Amen.
One the time another guy came, was in our ministry, and he came up to the house one day, how you doing, Mr. P? Oh, I'm doing great. Really? Doing great, huh? You call that being great down there, tied off? Lady's house down there making coffee with her underwear, you call that being great? How'd you know that? I said, what are you going to learn? God's a tattletale. Why do you think? See, you think I'm crazy or think this is weird because you don't understand spiritual gifts. You don't understand the ministry. You don't understand God. But it's my job to help you understand God. God's not mean. He doesn't let me know these things because he's mean. He lets me know these things to help you. When Steve came to the Lord, I drove him crazy. He'd go down back and he'd pray, Lord, I need to know something. I need to know this or I need to know that. And he'd be praying. While he's praying to the Lord, the Lord said, go down there and tell Steve so-and-so such and such. I said, okay, go down there. Hey, Steve, the Lord said, tell you this, blah, 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 blah. The answer was the question. He was asked the Lord. And this went on for months, didn't it? You got frustrated, too, didn't you? But I'm nothing special. What I have, you can have. You can hear from the Lord. You just, you know, a lot of people say, I just don't know why God doesn't talk to me. Well, you ain't got your phone line hooked up. You might have the telephone, and it may be plugged into the wall. But when was the last time you checked the outlet outside? You may not be wired to the switchboard. Just because you have a phone doesn't mean it's wired. Amen?
Amen.
What wires the phone? Tongues. When you pray in tongues, you are praying that spiritual language that comes from here. You're making the soul submit to it. And the body perform it. So these two are humbled. You see what I'm saying? So Jesus said to Nicodemus, son, you can't understand the things of God until you're born again. What happens when you're born again? Well, you were dead because of sin. When you're born again, Jesus connects the soul to the spirit again. And that's the only lawful way for that to happen. The only lawful way. Anybody trying to come in any other way is a thief. Only through the cross. Notice how it forms the cross? Only through the cross can you be restored a new, perfect person. Now let's go back and look at that hierarchy thing just a minute. What happens at birth? Mother and the Father come together. Biblical term is they know one another. Have you ever, you remember that scripture? For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave unto his wife, and they two shall become one flesh. Huh? And the preachers get out there and teach, that means they're one person. Right? Stand up, Kim. Stand up, Rick. Come over here, Rick. Stand right there. Kim, stand right here. Ricky's there, Kim's there. I'm in between them. If they were one, it would seem to be me right now. Are they one in the spirit? Yes, amen. Are they one in the soul? I hope so. But physically, she's standing there, and he's standing there. Any fool can see that, amen? So what was he talking about? What was he talking about? Well, she has half of the answer. He has the other half of the answer. He provides the seed. She provides the egg. And when the two come together, God provides that, that forms the one body. God then supplies the soul and the spirit, and there is an instant explosion at that conception, and you have a perfect being in that womb, and they become one. Come here, Becca. Come here. Come here, brother. And here is the one. They become one. Isn't that simple? How much simpler can you get? Now, God is very, 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 this word I want to use, no, I don't want to use simple. He's more than simple. But it's one of those words I know all the time until right now. Where did it go? You go, praise God. Men think logically, that's it.
Well, you gotta say it
where I can hear you. I've already jumped on you. All right. God is very, very logical. Very logical. And he doesn't lie and deceive. But the thing is, he is so simplistic in his logic, and we're so trying to be important and religious, we go right past it and don't even see it. Amen? And it's right in front of us. So the man and the woman becoming one is very different. One in the spirit and soul, yes. But that body is half her and half him. Amen. Thank you, sir. So, when that baby was conceived, there was an instant explosion. Just like when you put hydrogen in two parts, hydrogen in one part, and oxygen together, there's an instant explosion. And life was formed. And God provided the spirit, the soul. Kim and Ricky provided the body. And in that time of Kim carrying that baby, That was a perfect being. And you know what? When she was in her mother's womb, she could see God. Did you know that? She could see God. She could hear God. She could see the heavenly beings. And she could. Have you ever wondered why it is that children are so much more spiritual when they're young? As they get older, they begin to lose it. Children almost instinctively, it seems, knows there's a God. How's that? You remember seeing him. And you know, when Adam's soul was cut off from the spirit, he didn't lose total eyesight instantly, did he? Because afterwards he saw the voice of God walking. Have you ever seen a voice walking? Think of that. It says they saw the head from the word, from the voice of the Lord God walking. Who is the voice of the Lord God walking? Jesus. And they saw him and they communicated with him. But as time passed, our abilities became less and less. And so it is with children. Divided asunder through Jesus Christ is joined back together.
Amen.
And if you hold the valve that opens it up, you see, there is a valve put right here. And that valve can be opened or shut. When it's open, you're flooded with the spiritual grandeur that is God and all the things he has. And when it's shut down, your God has a home. But he hands you the wheel of the valve. You hold it. You can open it and you can close it. Somebody would like to know the secret to opening it. It's called obedience. Obedience to God's word is what opens the valve. The more obedient you are, the more submissive you are to God's word, the more that valve opens up. There have been times, church, I want to tell you, there have been times where I could not see people in a room because of the power of God's Spirit. When I first came to Vermont, back in 1984, we went to a church out here in Cabot. One of the biggest preachers I ever saw in my life was the pastor. I thought Goliath's brother was there. I came up to about this guy's belt buckle. This guy was huge. And I looked at this guy and I blew. Cheryl was just a little tiny baby. Kim wasn't that old. Carrie was 15, 16. And we all sat on the back row of the church, and the preacher did his thing. And as he was talking, I was looking at the people in the church. There were, what, maybe 300 or 400 people in that church. As I was looking, I watched the people transform before my eyes, and I could see their spirits. Couldn't see them in the flesh anymore. All I could see was their spirits. And their spirit looked like gray skin stretched over a skull and bones and little tiny emaciated bodies, great big gray heads, big eye sockets. And I'm looking at this, and as I'm watching one by one, they began to turn to tombstones. One by one. Now, this was back in the days when I wasn't as nice as I am today. And this preacher got done and he came back and said, "Well, hi, welcome to the church. Glad to meet you. I'm Pastor So-and-so." I said, "Hi." And we're introduced to him. He said, "Well, what did you think of my preaching?" Wrong question. Should not have asked that question. I said, "You want to know the truth?" And he said, "Yeah." I said, "I left the dog back in Maryland to preach better than you can." What? I said, "Sir, I didn't know why I came into this church, but now I do. You're killing your people. You're killing them. And God will hold you accountable." "What do you mean?" I said, "As you preached, I watched the people in the church. I saw their spirits, and I described what I saw, and I said, one by one, they began to die, and you're the cause. You better start preaching the truth." Well, there were some people standing around. He didn't want to hear that. So finally, he said, would you come over to the house? We can discuss this before." I said, "Sure, I'll come over." So Carrie and Ken and Ann and myself and Cheryl, we went over to the house. I think you went with us, didn't you? Or was it? Yeah. We went over there. And there's this guy's wife sitting there with this little thing in her hand. And we started talking, and I started telling him about the scripture and what I saw and what God was showing me. And he said something, and I said, "Look, you want to hear this and sit down and shut up, or I'll just sit and leave." And his wife spoke up and said, "Oh, you can't talk to my husband like that." I said, "Lady, shut up. You've got no part nor parcel in this. You've got nothing to say here." "Well, what do you mean?" I said, "You're not a Christian. In fact, you're a priestess of Wicca. Now tell me, isn't it the truth?" And she said, "How did you know?"
"Because you're a priestess."
I said, "I ain't telling you. So you just keep your mouth shut. You've got no part and parcel in this." And our Lord had me deal with this person and tell him this, and we left. He came up and came back to the house where we were staying and brought it up again. And it was this Bible, this very same Bible, that I handed the guy. And I would tell him, "Go to this scripture verse, go to that one, go to this one, and read it." And finally, this man got mad, and he threw this down on the floor. And he said, "I don't give a God blankety blank what that blankety blank book says. I'm going to believe what I want." And I said, "So be it." "Now, thus saith the Lord, from this day forward, you shall not preach anything but funerals. For the vision that I had is now going to come to pass." 2 days later, we preached his first funeral. We sat in Cabot, Vermont for 2 weeks and watched a funeral a day. The only part of that was the guy. He went up to Maine and became pastor of a church up in Maine. Within 2 weeks of pastoring that church, people started dropping dead. Do I believe God's real? Oh, yeah. If you go out to the back side of this church and look across the river, you'll see a building back there that used to be a church. You know which one I'm talking about? Does anybody have a clue why that church was sold? I do. That church was a church of God of prophecy. And the Church of God of Prophecy was going to sell the other Church of God of Prophecy downtown Barrie. And the Lord sent me to that church to buy it. And the pastor didn't like me. Because I asked him, why do you want to sell this church? It looks like it's in good shape. And it's a beautiful church. Why do you want to sell it? It's too big. I said, excuse me? I said, where I come from, our problem is it's too small. What do you mean it's too big? And he said, well, it's just too big. And I said, well, that's good. He said, how do you do that? I said, you're a Pentecostal preacher. You're asking me how to do that? You preach the gospel. You heal the sick. You raise the dead. You cast out devils. That guy. He said, oh, don't be asinine. That's what he said. He said, don't worry about it. I've got it sold anyway. This motorcycle group wants to buy it. We'll use it for a motorcycle shop. I said, wait a minute. How can you do this? Was not this church ever dedicated to God? Well, if you all. Well, how do you undedicate it? He said, we have a service for that. You have a service for undedicating to God? Yeah. I said, where are you people from? How would you like it if God undedicated you and put you back into the world? And he used that word again. Don't be asinine. God could never do that. I said, thus saith the Lord, you are cut off now. You will not preach another sermon. If you repent, I will heal you. If you repent not, I will cast you to the dogs, saith the Lord. That was on a Thursday afternoon. That Saturday night, they rushed him to the hospital. He had cancer from one end of his body to the other. I sent word into that church and begged that preacher to let me come talk to him. His words were, I'd rather die than talk to him. Remember what I said the other night? There's nothing I can say that can make you believe. There's nothing I can do that can make you believe. If God doesn't put it in your heart to believe, you're not going to believe. And old people, I want to end this tonight on this gift thing about the gifts and we'll finish it tomorrow. The most precious gift that you have from God is the ability to believe. Without that gift, none of these others can you have. You can't have any of the others. But if you take that gift, and you nurture that gift, and you water that gift, and you hold around that gift, and weed out the disbelief, and weed out the garbage, and weed out all the junk, weed it out. So let that belief that God has given you and that faith that God has given you will grow. You can walk in the gifts that we're going to continue studying about tomorrow night. Amen. Thank you.